Each week at Grace Bible Church, we get to proclaim Jesus' death, his love for us. We get to remember him until he comes. God the Son came to earth and he died to purify, to purchase a people for himself. And he will return, and then we'll be with him forever. And until that time, we get to have a piece of bread and some juice to serve as physical reminders, to help us to look back to his death at the cross, to look forward to his return, and in the meantime, to live by faith. So we're going to take a piece of bread and a cup of juice as reminders of Jesus. And in a few minutes, the men will pass those out. If you're not a Christian, if you haven't turned from your sins and faith to Jesus, please just let the bread and juice pass by when it comes. Only those who've trusted in Jesus and in his death can rightly take part. And Christians, when the bread and juice comes, please take it, hold it, and remember Jesus who died for you and who is coming back for you. And it's right that this remembrance would stir in us a desire for holiness of heart. Indeed, a Christian cannot be content to remain in known sin, especially as we remember Jesus, who died to free us from that sin. Nevertheless, as we consider holiness, there's a temptation I want to warn us against. It's a similar temptation to that which Paul warned the Corinthians about when he taught them on the Lord's Supper. It's, as you consider yourself, don't think only of yourself as you take the Lord's Supper. As you consider yourself, don't think only of yourself as you take the Lord's Supper. Remembering Jesus and proclaiming his death, it must lead us to increased love for the church and for the world. There could be a temptation to sit in your own personal chair, looking down at your personal Bible, contemplating Jesus' death for you personally, and evaluating your own personal holiness. And that's good and necessary, but God designed the Christian life to be marked by life among and life for others. Indeed, all true gospel holiness will be accompanied with love. So remembering Jesus and proclaiming his death must result in love for the church and for the world. So open your Bibles to 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 12. We're going to listen in on a prayer of Paul. And it's going to help us understand a bit more between the connection, or a bit more of the connection between Jesus, love, and holiness. If you remember Scott's sermons over the last few months, he's already set the context for this passage. Paul had a very short time in Thessalonica before he was run out of town. He left behind a bunch of new believers, and Paul now writes from Corinth toward the end of his second missionary journey to the fledgling church he left in Thessalonica. He longed to return to them, and he prays that in verse 11 of chapter 3. But he longs for something more. He longs for their holiness. Look at 1 Thessalonians 3:13. Paul prays that Jesus would establish their hearts blameless in holiness before our God and Father when Jesus returns. Each week in communion, when we remember Jesus, we must remember that he will return. And it's of utmost importance that we be found holy when he returns. When Jesus comes back, it will be to gather his holy ones, his saints, both those who have died and those who are still alive. And he teaches about that in the next chapter. He will gather us together to be with him forever. It's very important that we be found to be holy on that day. Paul wanted the Thessalonians to be holy. He begged God to make them holy. He prayed that they would be blameless in holiness. It's hard to be without blame in anything, much less blameless in holiness. Yet that's what he asks for, in holiness. Then he takes it up a notch. He says we must be blameless in holiness before God. If somebody asked her, are you good at basketball? Or are you good at physics, math? My answer would be different if I'm sitting before a bunch of first graders compared to if I'm in the presence of Michael Jordan or Stephen Hawking. And this captures a bit of what Paul might mean, except the chasm between us and God, especially in terms of holiness, is infinite. Now consider that the Holy One, by whose holiness we will be judged, that one is also the judge before whom we will stand. It's hopeless. All efforts to obtain holiness will fail before that Holy One, except that by grace, that judge, that standard of holiness before whom we will stand, he's also now our Father. And he sent his perfect Holy Son to die in our place to give us the very holiness he demands. For our sake, he made him to be sin, who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Religion is futile. Self-improvement is hopeless when blamelessness and holiness is the standard. The only way to be blameless in holiness is to have Jesus' perfect holiness placed upon you. And this comes through faith alone, by grace alone, not by works, so that no man may boast. We are saved by grace alone, through faith alone. But this faith, it's never alone. Right? Those who have faith, they will be marked by love. Let's read 1 Thessalonians 3, 12 through 13 in its entirety. And look hard at the "so that" that connects the two verses. Paul prays, "May the Lord make you increase and abound in love for one another and for all, as we do for you, so that he may establish your hearts in blamelessness, in holiness, before our God and Father at the coming of our Lord Jesus with all his saints." Paul doesn't just pray for holiness. He prays that Jesus would make them love one another and the world so that Jesus could establish their hearts in holiness. Love is not the basis on which our blamelessness is earned. Rather, it's the evidence of the faith through which we're reckoned blameless by grace. Simultaneously, love is the outworking and foundation of our holiness of life in which we live by faith. Love isn't optional in our pursuit of holiness. We're not made holy because we love. Rather, when we are made holy, we are made to love. And this love for one another, this love for one another and for all, that's necessary to establish the heart as blameless in holiness before God the Father, that love only comes from God the Son by the working of God the Holy Spirit in the life of a believer. This is not a natural love that God demands. It's a supernatural love that our triune God provides. So now take the bread and juice, and as you consider Jesus, his death, and his imminent return, be stirred up by Jesus to love, so that your hearts may be established blameless in holiness before our God and Father at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. So if you're a believer, may your faith be established and your love increased as you take the Lord's Supper. And if you're not a Christian, please just let the bread and juice pass. Or even better, despair of your own efforts at holiness. and cling to Jesus in faith and remember Jesus with us and proclaim his death in communion now. Men, please serve us. Take communion on your own.